How's everybody? Blessed. Well, we are so thankful and glad that you are with us this morning, and those that will be joining us online as well. We know that God has something special. I do want to just real quick, I'll follow up at the end of our service about next week, but just kind of give you a perspective a little bit. As most of you know, there'll be some transitions that will be coming with our church, with the appointment of Julie and I with as the president of Open Bible Churches, and just want to kind of keep you up to speed on that. In fact, today I'm going to share a message that really I want to, over the next couple months that we have, that to really highlight maybe some things that I feel like God's really put in my heart that are essential, things that are key, things that are priorities for us to make sure that you are and we are all together as we move forward together in that. But just want to let you know that this last week that there was a church profile that went out to different pastors in our organization to allow them to be a part of that. I know that there's been a few different responses to that already, but I also wanted you to know, in addition to Pastor Chris Hansler, which I talked to you a couple weeks ago, who's the president of our board of our church, he's been here a few times, has spoken a couple times here at our church. In addition to that, there's also a handful. We've got some of our local people in our church that considering putting together, I guess, what you'd call an advisory team that are going to be working with him. And so just wanted you to know that there are people that will be representing you as well. Mike Hansen, Jessica Redman, Ryan Dusich, and David Bordy. Those are some of those names. Just wanted you to understand and know that there are people that are praying with us, but there are also people here that will be part of this process as we walk through that. And we're trusting God for great things. Amen. Come on now. Let's say it together. Amen. Amen. All right. So that. And I also want you to know, if you ever have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. I would love nothing more than to help people have greater understanding of the process and the journey that we have together. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up, beginning in Mark chapter 12. We're going to also be in Matthew 28, and then I got a couple other passages out of Genesis. And today I want to start something that will take a few more Sundays to highlight and hit on. Now, next week, don't miss our weekend service, our weekend event, Family Fest. The Friday night is for everybody. Saturday morning is for all of the children, kids, sixth grade on down. And then there's a family stuff in the afternoon. But then next Sunday, after service, is how many? Do we have two food trucks that are coming? Two food trucks, well, along with all the activities. So next Sunday will be just a celebration. It's a different version of what Summerfest used to be, and just trying to do things uniquely. But so next week we have special guests. The Laughlins are their name. They're going to do an incredible job, and you'll love them. But over the next couple of weeks during the summer, we're going to hit a few things that are going to tie in for us, this idea about loving God, loving people, and changing the world. That there was a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you a message about the mission of God. And as we talked about being empowered for life, that God has anointed us, and there's a mission, there's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a design for all of our lives. And the fundamental foundation of this is really this idea out of Mark chapter 12 and Matthew 28 that gives us what we know as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And so I want to introduce you again, or reintroduce you, or just remind you. That's probably a better way, because it's things that you are aware of, but remind us to live our lives on mission. And the message today, I want to really hit this idea that we are blessed to be a blessing. Everyone say blessed to be a blessing, that God has blessed us. And several months ago, we actually talked about Abraham and the Genesis 12, and we're going to tie that in, that what God started there in Genesis 12, there's a continuation in our lives of living this idea of being blessed in order that we can be a blessing. And that ultimately that God wants to use your life, use my life to love him, to love people, but ultimately to change the world. And if you look around at the world today, how many know it could be, there could be some changes. There could be some things that could help us be a little bit better and closer to God. And he really gives us a plan. In fact, I'm going to use as a guide, there's an outline a couple years ago that I had used about bless, and we'll talk about that more in the next coming weeks. And I may buy, actually what I'll do, I'll buy a couple of these and have these available. But as a kind of a guide, as an outline or a foundation for this passage or this message or series of messages is a book here that's called Bless, 5 Everyday Ways to Love Your Neighbor and Change the World. And so this is going to be kind of a guide. Dave Ferguson's the author of that. He's a pastor in Chicago, so you could buy that. We'll have it available next week. But that's going to be a foundation, because what I want to do is go to something very practical on how. So I think we do inspiration well. We talk about the why and what God's called us to, but sometimes it's the how do I do that? What are some practical steps if God really wants to use my life to make a difference? What are some of the hows that we can do that? And so we're going to use that as a guide to help lead us in this series about loving God, loving people, and changing the world. It sounds ominous. I mean, you think about that idea, it's such a cliche. Well, hey, we can change the world. But the task is much bigger than what any one person could do, right? But together, we could do something greater. And not just as a church, but as the church of Jesus Christ, the capital C, the big church that's around the world, that together, if we all lived our life in a way that allowed God to take our yes, that allowed God to take our response to him and said, God, we'll do, we'll fulfill, we'll love you, we'll love people, then literally I believe the mission of God can be accomplished and that we can see the world changed. But it's going to start in your world. It's going to start in our hearts. It's going to start in your neighborhood. It's going to start in this sphere of influence. And that's really what this idea of loving God, loving people, and changing the world is dreaming of what we can do around us. And if everyone does something, there's something greater that happens. So let's read this together, and we'll walk through this, and we'll make this all make sense over the next couple weeks together. But how God wants us to live our life, this great commandment that we have heard over and over again, but the how are we going to actually live our life to change the world? And so this will be one way for us just to wrap our hands in around something practical and to live our life. So let's read this together. Matthew chapter 12, beginning of verse 28, it says this: one of the teachers, Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to this debate. There was a discussion about the resurrection that had just taken place, and there's people around there listening. And so this particular teacher of the law, he's listening to all this, and he realizes that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? We understand that there's over 600 of these laws. There's all these commandments, all these ways that should shape our life and how we should live and what we should be obedient to. Jesus, there's a ton of these but really, and he's trying to trip Jesus up on this question, but it says this, that Jesus hears his question, even with his ulterior motives, and he answers something that expands time, that wasn't confined to the moment Jesus spoke it, but was a passage that continues to reverberate, that continues to live today for you and for me. It says, Jesus replied, the most important, everyone say most important, come on now. The most important. So you know what that means? It's the most important. Come on, somebody. It's important. All right. That's what, no hidden agenda there. Most important. This is what he elevates over everything else. He makes this, you know, the most important commandment is this: listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. Our society and our culture gets a little bit confused about the things that we worship, but Jesus makes sure that there's only one God. there's really only one truth, and people want to debate that. They want to talk about my truth. Come on now. But it's His truth. There's one truth. There's one God. There's one Spirit, one Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that we look to as the authors of our life, the one that truly designed and planned before we were ever born, that one true God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So he's saying, I want you to put him first in every area of your life and love him with everything you have, body, soul, and spirit, that you find yourself looking for ways to honor him, to love him, to pursue him, to lift him up, because there's a response that if we'll do that and we'll live our life that way, that it will ultimately allow us to change the world or change other people's lives, the trajectory of their life. As they're on a road to destruction, a road of separation from God for eternity, a road that would end people in hell, that they can find hope and peace. He's like, so if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then he says the second part of that is equally important. I find that interesting because we think, okay, it's love God. That's the most important thing. But he says, this is what? Equal to. And equal to means equal to, that it's the same. You can't say, well, this is more important than this. He's like, this is critical in this journey of faith, being part of a community of faith like we are here, that we love God. But equal to that is that we love people. So the same way that he wants us to love him, he's saying, I need you to wrap your mind around this perspective, that I want you to love people as passionately as you love me. And if we'll really want to fulfill his plan, his purpose, his way, then we learn to love him, and we learn to love others around him as much as we love him. So he says this, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. That this is the premise. This is the foundation. And so as I look at some of the things that are just essential for us as a church, is understanding this premise. But there's in another gospel, this story would be followed, and maybe we'll talk about it in the next couple of weeks or so, with the question, it's like, to love your neighbor, they'll actually ask the question, well, then who is my neighbor? You know, kind of like, you want me to love everybody or just my neighbor? Because if I'm choosing who my neighbor is, come on, somebody, then I'm going to pick the ones that I really like. It'll be easier to love, but Jesus doesn't let them off the hook with just that generic answer, and I don't want to get into that today. But the idea of our neighbors being those that are in close proximity to us, that's the heart of what that word means. It doesn't mean the physical neighbor only, but those that are in close proximity, that God's calling us to somehow live my life, that I can love them as much as I love God. And for some of us, that's easier than others. And for some of our journeys, it's simpler, where others, it's a more of a challenge to love them because they're crazy people. Come on. They're I shouldn't say it that way. They're frustrating. They're irritating. They're not my favorite. That's what I would say. All right. But we learn to love people. So that's the great commandment. And then there's this follow-up, this great commission. And I want you to catch something that parallels from the beginning of the Bible. We're going to read in just a moment in Genesis chapter 12. And I've never really thought about this. And today, or this week, as I was preparing and studying this, that it ties two things in about our obedience to God. Now, this isn't in the book, but it's just part of something that I think is an incredible insight to what God's saying to us. So in the Great Commission, it says this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So I have this authority or this power or this directive and this right from heaven to be given. And he said, this is what I want, that there's this therefore. He connects this authority that he has to the commission or the plan or the purpose. Therefore, go. Everyone say go. Come on, say go. Go and make Now, in just a moment, we're going to read out of Genesis chapter 12. And God says those same words to Abraham. Go, and I will make. I could just stop here today because I feel like for me, this was this sudden revelation for me. That first of all, we understand that we are not the ones that make disciples. We're not the ones that save people. In fact, John 16 talks about that it's by his Spirit that he convicts the world of sin, that he brings salvation to people, that he's the one that brings transformation into people's hearts and people's lives. But we get to be the people that go and be part of helping them become who God's called them to be, that we get to help make disciples. And it tells us really how to do that. It says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, identifying them with God, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching people, giving them the understanding of God's word. And these new disciples, the ones that we reach, the ones that are far from God, the ones that are disconnected from God. And I bet if I asked every one of you in this room that there are probably multiple people around you and in your life that you'd say, man, they are just disconnected from God. They're far from God. They're far from his purposes. They don't know it. And this calling, this commandment, and this commissioning is how will I live my life that I love him and I love people passionately? Teaching these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you. So they're followers of Jesus, and be sure and know this, that when you do this, I give you this promise, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, that if we will go to our neighbors, if we will go to people, that he will make something great. There's something powerful in our obedience to God. If I'll go, he will make. If you get nothing else out of this today, that he is calling you to go and he wants to make something happen in your life and through your life. He wants us to go that as we love him and we love people, that he will cause our lives to make a difference in those around us. That if we'll obey him and we'll be lovers of God and lovers of people and we'll go to people that are disconnected from God, his plan and his purposes, that are far from him, and we allow them, you know, for part of for Life Church, what is our vision statement is to be a life-giving church in the East Bay that helps people grow in a relationship with Jesus. What's that mean? If they don't know Jesus, we want to introduce them. Maybe they're newer in their faith and we want to help them get rooted and established in their faith. Or maybe they've known God all their life or for 20 years and we want them to become who God's called them to become in the context of become or belonging in community and believing in God. That we want people to grow in a relationship with God. If they don't know him, we want their first step is to introduce them to him, to say yes to him. And if they know that and they've taken that first step, but how do we help the roots go deeper? But in our going, in our obedience, he's going to make things happen in you and through you, that God wants to do something in people's lives. And if we're going to see the world change or make it a little more tangible, our community changed, it will take God's people loving him, loving people, going, living on mission. And so let's look at how it all began in Genesis chapter 12. And you've heard this because we actually spoke on some of this at the very beginning of the year in Genesis chapter 12. And I'm sure you remember every word I said. Come on, somebody. Somebody, I'm not sure what you said last week. That wasn't me last week. That was my son Levi last week. So I didn't say much last week. But anyway, so in Genesis chapter 12, it says that the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go. Do what? Go. I need action. I need steps. I don't just attend church so I can listen and learn. Come on now. I attend. I'm part of this community. I belong so that I can go. That I can live, that I can put it into action. So it's go to the land I will show you. I will make you. So there's the idea that if you go, I will make things happen. That there will be in the promise of God as we go, as we obey, as we love, as we serve, as we follow him, that in our surrender to him, that he makes things happen. So you may not see it, you may not know it, but in your obedience, in your following, in your going, he's making things happen. Come on now, in your life. Things you don't see, things you don't know. He's going to open up doors, opportunities. He's going to bless us in ways that we'll never see, but we obey, we surrender, we follow, we go, and he makes things happen. I don't make them happen. He makes them happen. I'm just telling you that's good right there. All right, so, and I will make you into a great nation. Then he says, I will bless you and make you famous, is what this translation says. Another translation would say, I will make your name great. And for some of us, that's a powerful statement because we think about maybe that some of the things we've done, places we've been, things that we've fallen short in. Maybe we've come from a family that's been broken or dysfunctional. He's like, if you'll follow and go, I will make your name great. Your name won't be known for your addictions. Your name won't be known for your brokenness. Your name won't be known for your sin, your shortcomings. Your name won't be known because of this divorce. Your name won't be known because your name can become great because as we go, as we follow, as we serve and we love him, he'll make, come on now, something happen in your life. He transforms that. And he says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous, or I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families of the earth will be what? Be what? Come on, help me. Will be what? Blessed. All the earth, people around you, as you go, as you serve, as you love God, God will bless people around you. They get the overflow of your life. Come on now, that your life can be so filled with God's plan and God's presence that he says that I'm going to bless you and then those around you will be blessed, that their lives will reap the benefit of you living your life for God, for you going, for you surrendering, for you loving God, loving people, then their lives will be changed. So five times in those few verses, bless. Blessed, blessing others. There's this principle of God's blessing our lives so that we can what? Be a blessing to others. And I love this last part. And then if you have your Bible, you underline or highlight, I circled this. Curse those that treat you with contempt. Then it says, all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. That idea of through you, that I think a lot of times we live our lives and we think it's about us. I like this. I want this. The church doesn't this and I don't have this. It's like the idea that the story's about us. Come on now. But the story's about him. And we're part of his story in making history. The opportunity that he wants to do something through you. Now, just think about that. Right now, where you're sitting, he's saying, if when you walk out those doors, you will go as this ambassador, if you'll live and you'll serve, I will make something happen through you. Your life is going to produce something. And so my prayer is that Life Church, that over the next season, that we will look at how God can do something through us that we could never do on our own. That I won't allow the comfort zone of my life to stop me or to hold me back, but I'll live my life with this idea of how do I go so he can make something through. You understand that there's more than just listening. There's more than just going through the motion. It's the idea of loving God, loving people, and me going, and that he works through me and he makes something happen. Does that make sense? If not, I'll start all over again, and we'll hit the reset. The idea of your life, that it's time for us to go. And if we will go and live this love for God, love for people, he will make something happen in your life that changes the lives around you. That's what the promise is. That's what he's saying. And so we look at all of this and we think this idea about blessing, that God's blessing us so that he can bless through us. Now, fast forward to today, you know, 2023, and we look at it, it's like, well, everything's not the way that maybe we would envision a godly country being, or a godly world being, or a God working. But even with Abraham, everything wasn't good then. I mean, everything wasn't in line. They had this desire to have kids, and they were at that point unable, and it would be years that they would be going and not seeing anything happen, that there was this void or this emptiness, that life didn't make sense, it didn't add up, and then God's making this promise that I'm gonna do all this stuff through your life, and they didn't see it. And it's much like today, that God has these promises, these blessings for us, and maybe we don't see the fulfillment of that, but he's making something happen through me as I follow in obedience to him, that he makes things happen. So it's not something I just contain or keep to myself, but he wants to bless me so I can bless others and ultimately change the world. And so we see that in the life of Abraham, that he's blessed. This idea of being a blessing is throughout the scriptures, that we see it throughout the Bible, and Jesus modeled it everywhere he went, so that it wasn't just this Old Testament commandment, but God put into place. He created this perfect earth, and he planted people in it. And sin entered the world because of the choice that they made to be disobedient to God's plan. And so sin and death corrupted God's perfect ideal. And in Genesis chapter 3, if we go back just a little bit further, God immediately, you've heard me teach this, that God immediately puts a plan into action, that he would send his own son to pay the price for the sin that was committed so that he would connect people back to him. The next step was he commissioned people to be the ones that fulfilled that mission as they waited for Jesus. And when Jesus would come, die, pay the price, restore fallen mankind, that it was this mission of people to go and make disciples, to go and he would make, that he would do something great. So Jesus would model it. He was always blessing people. In fact, if you go to his first sermon in Matthew chapter 5, and I won't take time to do that, but we call it the Beatitudes. And the whole idea is, like, he tells you how to live a blessed life. How do you live God's blessed life? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And it goes through 9 times, it talks about how God wants to bless people's life and how we can live our life to experience the blessing of God. So Jesus' first message that we have recorded is this idea about how God wants to bless people so that their lives can make a difference. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and verse 16, it talks about that the people or parents were bringing their children to God so that he would do what? He would bless them. In one translation, it talks about that he would hug them. He would put his hands on them. Then he took them in his arms and he blessed them. The idea of Jesus was that he wants us to be a blessing to others so that we can see God change the world. Jesus would do it through his ministry and through his life. And I let me just read this passage, and we'll build on this the next couple of weeks, and we'll give you the 5 things of ways to live our life to practically change the world in which we live, or the world around us, or those that we are in relationship with. But in Luke chapter 19, there's a story of a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, however you want to say it, doesn't matter to me. But this guy was a wee little man. That's what the song says. But he was short in stature, and he's the guy that went up the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. I want you to catch this part, though. It says that Jesus entered Jericho, Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and made his way through. Just like how he wants to make his way through us. He was going through a town. The perspective is that he's passing through. He didn't have a scheduled meeting. It wasn't on his Google calendar or on his day timer, or it didn't have a message like, hey, I've set up this appointment with Zacchaeus. He's passing through town, but but he has this plan that he knows he's going to run into somebody. And for Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus, but for Jesus, he's going through, but he's going to stop and he's going to pause, because he's going to model for us this idea of how we can love people every day and in every way. Unscheduled, unscripted, and unplanned. It's like Jesus is going through the town. He's passing through. No scheduled appointments. He didn't have dinner scheduled at that point, but he knew what was happening. But verse 2, it says, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He had tried to look at, or he came to be very rich because he stole from everybody. He tried to look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed the sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. I love that. Zacchaeus, we don't have a prearranged appointment, but I know you by name. Just like us, he knows us and he calls us. He reaches out to us. Calls him by name and he says, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. I want to have dinner at your place. I know you're not ready. The house isn't clean. The laundry's everywhere. You haven't swept, but I'm coming over for dinner tonight. And that'll play into the bless here in a little bit in the next few weeks. But he comes down and Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Verse 7, but the people were displeased. He's gone to the guest of a notorious sinner, and they grumbled because Jesus cared about all people. In fact, one of the names for Jesus was he was a friend to people, but it tells us that he was a friend of sinners. Come on, somebody. That means he was a friend of Mike Nort too. He was your friend when you were lost, or when you chose to not follow, that he's your friend, he's my friend. He has to go to his house. He calls him by name, and everyone's grumbling because he's not hanging out with the religious folks. But verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I'll give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. If I've cheated people, which he had, on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much. Come on, somebody. Would you love the IRS to come to your door? We're giving you four times back all the taxes. Come on, somebody, let it be. No, anyway, so I'm going to give them back four times as much. And Jesus responds with this. Okay, here's the idea. If we go that he makes and he works through. If we go, he makes and he works through. If we go, he makes and he works through. Verse 8, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to, here's the key of the heart of Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. The Great Commission, the Great Commandment, is that perspective of he loved somebody that no one else loved. He found time to pause when no one else cared. When others would avoid, Jesus stopped and he calls him by name and he calls you and I by name and he's saying, I want you to live your life, to surrender, to go, to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you'll love people, you're going to find ways and opportunities for me to open up the door for you to speak life, to bring words of encouragement, to show love somehow, some way that you can live your life to be a blessing. That's going to be my challenge over the next few weeks. How will you today? How will you each day you wake up? How will you think in your mind and your heart? How will I bless somebody today? Come on, somebody. That you can really live your life saying, today, I'm gonna show kindness to somebody that's rude. Come on now. Today, I'm going to help somebody that needs a little extra help. I'm going to smile at somebody that I know is going through a difficult time. I'm going to give words of encouragement to people that just need someone to lift. And as I go, he will make something happen through us that will change their world. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. That step transformed not just Zacchaeus' world, but his family's world. Their lives, that says that salvation came to their whole home, to their house, to their family, to their relatives. And it says that he's shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And there's a couple other things, but just stand with me. I'm going to just close with this idea. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you those five everyday ways that we love our name, the how that we can live our lives in going. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. So what's that mean? When you say yes to God, and it says that we're children of Abraham. So what does that mean? That promise of what God said in Genesis chapter 12 now is tied to your life and my life, that he will bless us to be a blessing. And some of you think, well, how has God blessed me? Well, number one, if you said yes to him, you've been blessed with this idea of salvation, of hope, of a future. Others of you, we talked about the anointing of God in your life and the working in you that he's given you different gifts and talents. But some of it, maybe it's just your time, that you could invest your time in just caring about others, loving others, taking a moment as Jesus did to pause and just to love others, that we are part of that blessing, that we're being blessed so that we can be a blessing. It goes on that what's more, so those that put their faith in God, verse 8, what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles, those that weren't Jewish by birth, those that were on the outside, those that were adopted, to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago and said, all nations, all people, I'm going to work through you to be a blessing, will be blessed through you. The understanding that God's working through you to be a blessing. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. The opportunity that we saw in Abraham, in Jesus, and in Zacchaeus is in us, and God wants to work through you to change the world. And we will talk about the how, in the next few weeks, but the idea of bless, B-L-E-S-S, that we begin in prayer, we listen, we spend time with, eat with, we serve, and we share. And I believe that if we'll just embrace this call, that there'll be things that you've prayed for in your family's life or your friends, in your home, that you'll see God do that only he can do. So Lord, today as we close this moment, we say yes to you and your way. God, I know that it was just this light turning on moment that in my obedience to loving you and loving people, if I'll go, that you'll make something great through us. And God, that's what I pray for every person under the sound of my voice today. As they say yes to you, God, what could you do through them? You literally could change communities. Together, that we could change our cities. God, that we could see families come home to you, that Lord, that you can work through us, and that's your heart and that's your prayer. So God, I just pray that we will embrace this great commandment, this great commission, but that we'll love you and we'll love people the same, and that we'll go and that you'll make something real that we couldn't do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing this together as we close.